I've always known about the Holy Spirit, but I guess I'm kind of confused by all the different things I hear about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So just what is the Holy Spirit's role in our lives?
Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Thank you for joining us here on Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. Today, June shares from her series, The Holy Spirit, Living Free in the Power and Peace of the Spirit. As we prepare to observe Easter, our Jewish neighbors will begin the observance of Passover this Friday, April 6th. This is the time of the year that reminds us of the highest form of love as we remember that Jesus laid down his life for us. It's also a great time to look at the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. June is joined today by her Hope in the Night co-host, Jim Kress. Now here's June Hunt on Hope for the Heart.
I think one of the most fascinating things about the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, the one who is God here on earth to indwell true believers. Very interesting that we are to have a dependent lifestyle, a dependent walk. And, you know, normally when we think of dependency, you think of alcohol dependency,
yes, uh-huh.
or drug dependency.
Something and negative, right?
Always negative. This is where it's positive. And Jesus painted a word picture for us. He used nature, and of course, he always used imagery that the people could understand as they would walk, and there were vineyards, and we see him saying, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Here you see that dependency. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, when I read that in John 15, and that is one of my favorite chapters in the book of John, because it lets me know, June, if you think that you can do something real well, once you start thinking how good you can do it, you've just taken the blessing away from God.
It's like reading your own press clippings. If you're in sports and it's you're highly critically acclaimed for what you can do, and you start saying, hey, I kind of like what I'm reading here. I believe this. Yeah. You know?
And there's one thing that I have prayed over and over and over for our ministry, and that is for the anointing of the Spirit of God. There is an anointing work that the Spirit of God uniquely performs. And when you have his anointing, you have his blessing. And instead of praying for us to be on X number of stations or for us to be able to do whatever, you know, all that stuff is just stuff if it's void the Spirit of God's anointing.
June, you are a musician in your own right and know your way around a guitar and how to sing. You've ministered to people through the years. And one song that I know you know well, and I only know that one particular verse, which says, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. As we segue into some evidence, how we know if we are being filled with the Spirit, love is one of the fruit.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, spiritual fruit, literally, just like if you measure a bushel of apples or a pint of peaches, I can remember my grandmother taking us out to this little orchard, and we would get all these peaches, and they were wonderful. Well, they were measured. It's interesting that we can literally measure the fruit of the Spirit. And it begins, as you just said, with love. Now, some people may think, okay, that means I need to be in love.
Right.
We're not talking about a marital love. It's not the type of love where you just feel warm fuzzies when you see a movie, and you know, it's none of that. Agape love is a love that seeks the highest and best for others instead of for yourself. And one of the characteristics of having the Spirit of God truly taking you over, meaning being in control of you, being filled with the Spirit, is that instead of being selfish, you will seek the other person's highest good. And that's a choice. That is a real choice to make, Jim.
I think as you say that, there's real evidence of that, say, in my own life. And what I mean by that is this. I'm a rascal, and
I know that. You're not telling me anything.
You know, if I don't...
No, you share your popcorn with me.
I do share. I'm learning. If I don't go to Jeremiah 17:9, which says my heart is desperately wicked, and okay, I'm a new creation. Now I still go to the Apostle Paul mm-hmm. in Romans, when he said Romans 7, the things I don't want to do, I do. Mm-hmm. There's a real, you know, there are things inside of me that tend to be very selfish by mm-hmm. nature, and I want to gratify me. So if I truly am, without trying to get something back, mm-hmm. loving someone else, it has to be the Holy Spirit doing that through me mm-hmm. and not to something mm-hmm. I've conjured up in mm-hmm. my own power.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there is such a joy when we allow the Spirit to change our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I've just thought of the scripture, it is more blessed to give than receive. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we're trying to be on the receiving end so much, just to realize, wait a minute, God says it's a blessing. It is more blessed. There, you have the divine favor of God that enables you to have an inner happiness, true inner joy, if you look at what you can give. And in giving love, seeking the other person's highest good, is so spiritually and emotionally healthy for us.
Mm-hmm.
Why not live that way? But again, it's a choice that we make if we're going to really allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts.
Have you made the choice to allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your heart? This is Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. Let's return now as June continues to share how we can know if we're being filled with the Spirit.
June, the next fruit of the Spirit we're looking at here is that of joy. And someone says, of course, I know I should as a Christian be joyful. I want to have joy. But what if someone's giving me a real hard time? They're just after me. And mm-hmm. It's hard for me to be joyful.
Mm-hmm. And we will always have people like that in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue for us is, are you being controlled by your circumstance? Or to say it another way, joy means living with gladness over what you have rather than what you don't have.
I like that.
So what we could do, and I hadn't thought about it until right now, because we have basically definitions on each one of these, we could turn around and make this a checklist. Do you seek the highest and best for others instead of for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Do you live with gladness over what you have rather than what you don't? For peace, are you really resting in the sovereignty and strength and security of God? You know, instead of focusing on a negative circumstance. For patience, are you enduring difficult trials calmly without complaint?
Mm. Key words.
Yeah, right. You can get through a trial, but what is your spirit in the midst of that trial? Now, again, these are evidences. These are measures of being filled with the Spirit. In terms of kindness, are you helping others sympathetically with a benevolent heart? Goodness, are you displaying moral virtue with purity of heart? As God looks at your heart, would He call your heart pure? Or do you need the Spirit of God to purify your heart? Gentleness, are you showing respect and tenderness to all others with no hint of harshness? Not just the people where it's easy to be gentle, but with people who are difficult in your life. Again, are you showing respect and tenderness to all others with no hint of harshness? And the last one, self-control. Are you rising above selfish desires to do what is right in God's sight? You know, Jim, I think that for each of us, there would be one or two of these that might stab a bit, you know,
yes.
Where mm-hmm. it's like, well, I'm just... You know, I need to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, I need to work on that,
okay.
Let's turn that around. Spirit of God, I empty myself of self. You do that changing work in me. And I'm emphasizing that because the scripture says that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. We are not to produce all this fruit. I mean, if I could, I would, but I can't produce all that fruit.
Yeah, we act sometimes like it's our fruit with a touch of the Spirit. It's the Spirit's fruit, what you're saying.
Right. And when we look at what a branch does, mm-hmm. a branch does not produce the fruit. This is important. A branch does not produce the fruit. The branch bears the fruit. Mm. It fully cooperates with the vine or with the tree and naturally produces the fruit. If there's the root of true faith, there will be the fruit of true faith. Mm. Just as if you have the root of an orange tree, you're going to naturally produce oranges. If you have the root of a banana tree, you're going to naturally produce bananas. As branches, we don't produce the fruit. We bear the fruit. And in the area of self-control, He gives us control over areas where we've tried and tried and failed. And the Spirit of Christ will produce the fruit we are called to bear as long as we stay dependent on Him, that we abide in the vine.
Abide in the vine. That's a powerful biblical truth and a practical truth as well. Our topic is the Holy Spirit, living free in the power and peace of the Spirit, and you're listening to Hope for the Heart. June Hunt has shared some of the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Now she looks at the question, are the soul and the spirit of a person the same? Here again is June Hunt on Hope for the Heart.
Well, a lot of people don't really know what the soul is. Mm-hmm. They scratch their heads and said, wait a minute, what's the difference between the soul and the spirit, or is that the same thing? Well, let's understand that the Holy Spirit is the active presence and power of God in a believer's life. Mm-hmm. So when you have the Holy Spirit in you, indwelling you, you have God in you, and that's phenomenal. You have His presence in you 24 hours a day.
Well, June, you've touched on this, and many people will want to know because they're confused over this issue of soul and spirit. Are the soul and spirit of a person the same?
Mm. Well, let me make some comments about how the Bible presents the soul and the spirit. At times, the Bible refers to the body and soul, and it would indicate the outer person and the inner person, the visible and the invisible. Now, in other places, the terms body and spirit are used, again, referring to the invisible and the visible. However, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we see all three terms used together, body, soul, and spirit. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that there are times when the soul and the spirit are presented distinctly. The writer of the book of Hebrews specifically divides the soul and the spirit. This is in Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. So the bottom line is, when you read the words in the Bible, soul and spirit, the context of how those terms are used makes the difference in terms of its meaning.
Well, June, obviously, most people probably think they have a pretty good handle on what the body is.
Mm-hmm,
some
mm-hmm.
of us better than others.
Well, sometimes they're love handles.
That's the kind
around
of handles,
the middle.
That's right. But when it comes to soul and spirit, that's another thing.
Yes. The soul, we could say, would be the behavioral makeup. By and large, it's your mind, will, and emotions. This is what makes up your personality.
Well, June, when it comes to the spirit, most people, when they hear the word spirit or the spirit, their mind is going to go to the Holy Spirit, and that's not what we're talking about right at this point.
Right. There is a human spirit that we all have. Your human spirit is the immaterial, innermost part of you. And let me mention three aspects of the human spirit. The human spirit is the part of you that needs to be saved, meaning spiritually saved. Paul told the Christian church in Corinth to withdraw fellowship from a particular man who was engaged in incest.
Mm-hmm.
They said to hand him over to Satan so that basically he would feel the full weight of his sinfulness and have his, quote, spirit saved. Number two, the human spirit is the innermost part of the believer that upon death is united with Christ in heaven. Remember when Stephen was being stoned? He prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now let me quickly add a third point in regard to the human spirit. The human spirit is the, again, the immaterial, innermost part of the believer that is strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3:16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So in reality, Jim, you can do certain things. I can do certain things. We could do them in the flesh. We could do them without the Spirit's power.
Hmm.
And I really don't want that for my life. I don't want that for our ministry, Hope for the Heart. Periodically, I pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God. I typically pray that when we're in the studio together and we're going to be presenting God's truth for today's problems. I don't want what I had planned. I want what God has planned, what he has initiated to be applicable for people's lives. And that's what the human spirit needs. It needs strengthening. Again, that scripture, Ephesians 3:16. You could pray that for someone else that you care about. You know, if you really are concerned about someone, pray this prayer. Write down Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being.
Here's a question for you. Just what is the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer today? There are actually 8 vital roles, and I'd like to tell you about a powerful resource that answers that question and many more. It's a Heart of the Matter series from Hope for the Heart, and you can order it online at hopefortheheart.org or by calling our order line at 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-HOPE.
Let's return to Hope for the Heart as June looks at the Holy Spirit.
Well, June, I know as you're talking to people when you're out speaking at certain speaking engagements, and certainly on our nightly call-in program, Hope in the Night, you will point them to their 3 inner God-given needs and also talk about ways they may be trying to get those needs met apart from God.
Mm-hmm. And we've all done that.
Yes.
I certainly have.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the 3 needs, love, significance, and security. God-given needs. We all have a need for unconditional love. We all have a need for significance, which we could call meaning and purpose to life. Why am I here? We all have a need for security, wanting that sense of belonging. But we live in an imperfect world, and everybody doesn't love us unconditionally. Everyone does not treat us as though we have significance and value. Everyone doesn't make us feel secure. It's our human spirit that craves for those needs to be met. There's a craving for gratification of our deepest inner needs. Let me give an example. At one time, I felt one of my sisters was very harsh toward my mother. And my mother was my Achilles heel. Don't hurt my mother. And at that time, this sister was reactionary, and her life had sufficient pain also, and she had not felt secure. We did not have a real secure home environment. And I think she was reacting, thinking mother possibly could have handled it a different way. And so she was really hurting my mom. Now, when I would have an occasion as an adult to be with her, At times, words would be said that would be painful. Initially, my soul would react. My mind would record the injustice, and I would think angry thoughts. My emotions would feel anger over the injustice. And then my will would react with angry actions. Truly, I was not helping this situation out. Now, think about it. Every person has responded to problems without the Spirit's control. And since negative emotions are merely responders to what the mind dwells on, if you think angry thoughts, you will feel bitter emotions and react with bitter attitudes. Let me share what the Holy Spirit did to me. I needed a transformed mind. And when I saw the scripture, 1 Samuel 12:23, it penetrated my spirit. And that scripture says, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." Well, I hadn't prayed for my sister. I had just reacted in silence to her, but she knew I was reacting. So I began to pray for her. The Holy Spirit taught my mind how to think. This is the role of the Holy Spirit. He's our counselor, and he guides our will. He's our conscience, teaching our minds how to think. He's our counselor, guiding our will how to act. And he's our comforter, controlling our emotions as to what to feel in a right way. The key was praying consistently for my sister. And as a result, I had a loving concern for her. But it was the Holy Spirit who taught my mind how to think, directed my will how to act, and controlled my emotions how to feel what I needed to feel so that there could be true reconciliation within our hearts.
Hi, this is Paul for Hope for the Heart. Do you know 9 roles the Holy Spirit has in a believer's life today? These 9 roles all begin with the letter C, and they can be found in June Hunt's Heart of the Matter series, The Holy Spirit, Living Free in the Power and Peace of the Spirit. This series includes a full set of audio and a companion hope book. It's ideal for your personal study and for pastors, Bible teachers, and church leaders. You can find out more when you talk with a Hope Care representative at 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673, or visit hopefortheheart.org. You can also be the one who presents hope and help to those around you when you have your own lending library of Hope for the Heart materials and resources. The Holy Spirit is a topic that can be difficult to understand. Now you can share this biblical and practical series with others. That number again is 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673, or visit hopefortheheart.org. You know, as the Holy Spirit works through June to work in the lives of our listeners, here's one example of this in a note from a listener we'll call Beverly.
I heard a pastor talk about restoring the brethren. I thought of you and how much wisdom you have as you bring spiritual help and healing to many. You not only give hope, but many times bring them past hope so that their righteousness can break forth like the dawn and the justice of their cause like the noonday sun. I know many of us out here listening have gleaned much that we can use in our lives daily.
And we appreciate Beverly's perceptive insights and her encouragement to our ministry as we strive to present God's truth for today's problems to more and more hurting people all around the globe. That hope, whether presented in these daily radio broadcasts or through the hundreds of other audio and print resources, is made possible to a great extent by you. People who have promised to pray for the work of Hope for the Heart and who have budgeted a regular financial gift to the support of this ministry. You can learn more by visiting our website at hopefortheheart.org, hopefortheheart.org, or at 1-800-488-HOPE. That's 1-800-488-4673. Let's get back to June now for a closing word of hope from God's Word.
Do you ever think, I need strength. I need more strength. Well, Ephesians 3:16 says that God will, quote, strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. We don't just reach down and find our own strength. Our strength comes from the Holy Spirit in our inner being, and that's God's plan.